ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शिशुपालं समाप्येत्य हरिताधारं इवाथुरं नास्तत्विषं कठोत्साहम् शुष्यद्वदनम् अब्रुवन्
शिशुपालम्. The kings approached Shishupal, who was disturbed like a man who has lost his wife. His complexion was drained of color. His enthusiasm was gone, and his face appeared dried up. The king spoke to him as follows.
Bho bho purusha sardula dhomanasyam idam yaja na priya priyayo rajan nishta dehi shudrisyate.
Jarasandha said, "Listen, Shishupal, O tiger among men. Give up your depression. After all, all embodied beings, happiness and unhappiness is never seen to be permanent, O king.
Yatha daru mayi yoshit nrityate kutakechchaya evam ishvara tantroyam ihate sukadhukayo.
Just as a puppet in the form of a woman dances by the desire of the puppeteer, so this world, controlled by the Supreme Lord, struggles in both happiness and misery.
Purport.
By the will of the Supreme Lord, living beings are awarded the proper results of their own activities. One who understands the absolute truth surrenders to the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and is no longer considered to be within the material system of existence. Since those endeavoring within the material system or world are necessarily trying to exploit the creation of God, they must be subjected to reactions, which are perceived by the conditioned souls as miserable and joyful. In fact, the entire material way of life is a fiasco when seen from the perspective of absolute bliss.
Let us welcome to our temple His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Varaha Swami Maharaj.
We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 54, entitled The Marriage of Krishna and Rukmini, Text 10 through 12.
In this past time, we have been discussing Rukmini's great desperation. By hearing about Krishna from great devotees, her love for Krishna awakened.
That is the power of the nine processes of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kavanoi Sravanadi Sudichiti Kodiya Yudhoi. That this love for Krishna is within every living being. Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Nitya Das. Wherever there is life, there is the presence of the Jiva Atma. Mamayavam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanata. Every soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul or Krishna. And the relationship is that we are eternally the servants of Krishna. In a material sense, people would rather be a master than a servant. The reason for that is because in the material sense, people are trying to exploit each other. Due to a void in our own hearts, we want to acquire more property, more skills, more beauty, higher position, more control. So therefore, people are fighting, competing to try to get more, either in position or in possessions, because it gives us power. But in the spiritual realm, our nature is to love. Krishna's love is infinite. It's inconceivable. It's the ultimate source of everything that exists. When we feel Krishna's love, we become so conquered by that love. We simply want to serve. There's no conception of wanting to be a master. Because the desire to be a master is due to an emptiness within us. But when we experience Krishna's love, we simply want to please Krishna. We simply want Krishna to be our master. That is love. So when we speak about this concept of servant, Vrindavan Das Thakur tells, the title Das is the ultimate position one can achieve. It doesn't mean just to do what you're told. That's a very beginning stage. In the Vaishnava conception, the word Das is to serve with love. To please Krishna through our service without motivation for anything for ourselves and in a state where nothing could interrupt our desire to serve. In any situation, we simply want to serve. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Maro Birako Bijo Ichito. In any situation, Krishna, you can protect me or you could kill me. Or anything else. You can give me anything or take anything away from me. That's all superficial technicalities. I'm your servant. And in all conditions, I simply want to please you with love. It is that consciousness that is actual bhakti. And whatever philosophies, whatever sadhanas, whatever austerities, it's all meant to bring us to understand that principle.
So the soul is an eternal servant of Krishna, with eternal love for Krishna. And that love, even though the soul is infinitesimal, Krishna's love is infinite. Krishna's beauty is infinite. Krishna's transcendental qualities are infinite and eternal. And when Krishna reveals himself to us, then because our love is connected to the infinite, our love becomes infinite. In that sense. This is inconceivable. We are infinitesimal. Sri Radharani's love is the complete whole and source of all love. Our love is a part of that. But every part of that is infinite. So what is the nature of the whole, of all love? So we are speaking about what is Vaikuntha. Or in a higher sense, what is Vrindavan? It is our natural home. It is the climate that makes us happy. In this material world, where we have forgotten that love, we have disconnected from understanding the supremely joyful experience of seva or service. So we're trying to replace it with so many substitutes. And according to how we try to do like that, it aggravates and perpetuates envy, arrogance, depression, greed, kama, selfish lust. Rukmini, of course, she's the goddess of fortune. She's an expansion of Sri Radha. But in the Leela, she's also taking a role to teach us certain lessons. Because like Rukmini, we are all eternally lovers of Krishna. He is Purusha, we are all his loving servants. And simply by hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, simply by connecting to Krishna, who's personally present in the sound vibration of his words from the Bhagavad Gita, he's performing his pastimes directly, personally, in the sound vibration of these stories from Srimad Bhagavatam and other great scriptures. By connecting with Krishna in this way, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Pundisravana Kirtana. Because Krishna is all pure. Just by making that connection through hearing and chanting and remembering and serving and praying these nine processes of bhakti, we become purified. Why? Because Krishna is all attractive. So Rukmini never saw Krishna with her eyes. But she heard about him through her ears. And she took him into the core of her heart and surrendered her life. And Krishna reciprocated fully. But she was meant to marry Shishupal, who was Krishna's cousin brother, who was extremely envious of Krishna.
He was demoniac in every way. So she sent a message to Krishna. Just as we offer our prayers to the Lord, she offered a prayer with faith. And just like Krishna doesn't always immediately answer our prayers, she didn't know what was going to happen. She was really being tested almost till the last minute, when her life would have been totally destroyed by this forced marriage. And we find, finally, the messenger came back with Krishna and gave her assurance that Krishna's come. She went to the temple of Ambika. And as she was coming out, because this was a very, very important part of the ceremony, she goes to the family deity to offer her prayers, and then she comes out, and then the official marriage was to begin. So as she was walking out of that temple, there was Shishupal, who was madly, intoxicatingly attracted to her. And Shishupal invited so many of his friends. And what were the nature of his friends? They were all like him. They had their sangam, and you had to be highly qualified to be a part of that sangam. It's like here in Mumbai, there are some clubs for very elite people. You know, maybe you have to be some very, very powerful person with tremendous influence and tremendous wealth to get in this club. It's not that anybody could just come in and sit down next to them and say, you know, give me a laddu. You have to be one of them on their level. So these are all people on Shishupal's level. What was his level? There was Jarasandha, Salva, Pondraka. Powerful kings or princes. And they all came with vast armies. Why? Because they feared that Krishna may try to take Rukmini. So they were really fully prepared for what they considered the worst. Krishna is so fearless. Anyone who takes shelter of him becomes fearless. So how is he fearless? So he just came in. And he was right there among all the other kings and all the other princesses and all of his other enemies. And Rukmini came out, and she was walking. She just wanted to find Krishna. This was going to be the first time she ever directly saw Krishna with her eyes. Can you imagine her anticipation? She was praying for Krishna. She was crying for Krishna. She totally gave her body, mind, words, life to Krishna. But she never saw him yet. She was yearning to see him. She was yearning to be directly seen by him. This was what was in her heart as she was walking out of the temple. She was so beautiful that all of these extremely demoniac, exploitative rulers, they couldn't control themselves when they saw her. She was just too beautiful. They all fell unconscious. Now that's intense. Because these people, they have their own queens and their own princesses, and they conquer other kingdoms, and they get the most beautiful, any beautiful woman in the world, they just say, you come with me, and they, yes, yes, you. So it's not like they were, you know, desperately looking for somebody. They had everything. Now imagine, these are very, very powerful, successful rulers. Have you ever seen anyone so beautiful that you actually fell unconscious? Raise your hand if you've ever done that. So this is Rukmini's beauty. But actually, premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena, that you can't see Krishna unless you have love for Krishna. And similarly, Rukmini is none different than Krishna. She is his Ladini Shakti. She's an expansion of Sri Radha. Radha expands as queens like Satyabhama and Rukmini to serve Krishna in Dwarka. So the internal potency manifests as the external potency to those who do not have pure love. In other words, yoga maya becomes maya. This is the incredible, inconceivable power of Rukmini. Effortlessly, nobody could actually see her. Only Krishna could see her, and those who were pure devotees of Krishna. Everyone else saw a manifestation of Maya. But what kind of manifestation of Maya were they seeing? Because Rukmini is the original source of all spiritual energies. They were seeing the original source of material energy. They were seeing Maya in its fullest, or in her fullest. They were seeing the complete cause of all material causes. If you take everything beautiful in the material world that you want to enjoy and exploit, all the wealth, all the beauty, all the fame, all the knowledge, all the renunciation, all these material opulences, in its completeness, and you put it in one form, that's what they were seeing. They were seeing a material form of Maya. Krishna was seeing the same. Krishna, Balaram, and the people who came with Krishna, they were seeing Rukmini, the Lord's eternal goddess of fortune, pleasure, potency, his consort. Everyone else was seeing Mahamaya. And they were seeing, and it's not like some Bollywood special effects, even Hollywood special effects. She was moving in the same way. It wasn't like there was a double or something like that. It wasn't that she went like this and then Maya went like to, did the same. It was her. But she was just revealing herself according to her own supreme potencies. Just as Ravana could not kidnap the original Sita. Rather, he kidnapped a Maya Sita. But it was Sita that manifested as a Maya Sita. a material Sita. So that's what they were seeing. And Krishna, it's not so difficult to take her away when everyone falls unconscious. And actually, Rukmini, she manifested the beauty of that material form to them because she knew they would all fall unconscious. And when they were unconscious, then she could just focus on finding Krishna. But Krishna wanted to make it more exciting. He waited till they came back to consciousness. If he wanted to, they're unconscious. Rukmini made them like that. He could have taken, and then they wake up and... But Krishna waited till they came to consciousness again, and Rukmini was... In her Maya form, she was looking at all these kings. Kind of like what Mohini Murti did with the asuras. She was looking, and as she was looking, oh my God, it was, how fortunate is Shishupal. And Shishupal tried to understand the psychology of this Leela. Shishupal, he's about to marry Rukmini. And here are the most elite, highly successful people in the entire planet. These are all kings of entire domains with unbelievable wealth and strength and fame and everything to enjoy. And Shishupal is saying, they're all falling unconscious to see my wife. Demons like this kind of psychology. So that was only making him even more excited, for this moment was about to come where he was going to marry her. And right when he was at the peak of his anticipation, and everyone else was beyond their peak of attraction. And Rukmini's inspiring all this, actually, in her Maya form. And they don't even know that they're not actually seeing Rukmini. They're seeing the Maya Rukmini. And she moves her hair from that was a little bit covering her eyes, her lotus eyes. And she looks around and she sees the kings, and the kings swooning. And then she sees among them all is Krishna. And right in front of everyone's eyes, Krishna takes Rukmini and puts her on his chariot. And it described, he held her hand, put her on his chariot, and slowly he drove away. It's not yet at all. Krishna's faster than the speed of mind. He slowly drove away. This was, if he went really fast, it would have kind of showed some concern that, you know, there's some competition here. But the fact that he just slowly drove away means he couldn't care less about any of these people. They were totally outraged. It was the absolute insult that he was doing this in the presence of all of them together. Individually, everyone took it very personal. And they all had their armies. There was millions of soldiers there. with elephants and chariots and horses and all kinds of weapons and nuclear yogic weapons and so many things. They all attacked Krishna.
And Balaram was happily assisting Krishna.
And all these millions and millions of soldiers, within a very small frame of time, everything was defeated. And it was just Krishna and Rukmini. Incredible. Krishna can do all this with his wife, or his future wife, sitting right next to him on the chariot. Yes? No problem. They were shooting millions of arrows at him. It described that there were so many people who these kings brought with them that when they started throwing javelins and arrows and all these other weapons, the entire sky became black, dark. It actually blocked the sun. It's hard to imagine. That's how many people there were, and that's how fast they were shooting. And the incredible thing is the so many weapons making the entire sky black were all flying toward Krishna. And his people. And Rukmini, when she saw that, now this is not the Maya Rukmini, this is Krishna's Rukmini. She became very concerned. And Krishna smiled at her. And he spoke very sweet words. He said, have no fear. He said, your army will take care of them. He didn't say my army. That means he already accepted that you are my queen and everything belongs to you. These are your soldiers. This is your chariot. Everything that's mine is yours. And Srila Prabhupada explained that is actually relevant to everyone. When Prabhupada would say, we go back home, back to God. When we actually are at home, then everything that belongs to Krishna is ours. If we want to be proprietor, we're stuck with a few temporary things in this world that are taken away. But if we give up the desire to be a proprietor, and we accept Krishna as the proprietor, and Krishna the enjoyer, and Krishna is our supreme loving friend, then Krishna shares everything with us. That's the nature of love. In a loving family, if the father or mother get a nice car, then the children say, this is my car. Yes? Actually, the title's not in their name. But it's as good as theirs. They go into the house, this is my living room. This is my kitchen. Because in family, everything belongs to everyone. That's the nature of love. It's complete sharing. So in the spiritual world, everyone feels whatever is Krishna's is mine. But not in a possessive way. If you're possessive, then you can't experience that. Because Krishna reciprocates with our love, and everything he has, he shares completely with us as a loved one. That is the nature of bhakti. So Krishna tells Rukmini, don't have any fear, your soldiers will take care of them. And within a very short amount of time, all the armies were defeated. Everyone. And Jarasandha, Salva, Pundraka, Shishupa, all of them, they were all chasing after Krishna, really angry, really mad. And now they were totally defeated. There was nothing they could do. Krishna was gone with Rukmini.
Shishupal, it describes in this verse today, this hankering and lamenting. He was hankering, and now he's really lamenting. He was disturbed like a man who had lost his wife. His complexion was drained of color, his enthusiasm was gone, and his face appeared dried up.
Hare Krishna.
But the kings were in such illusion, they wanted to encourage him. So here, Shishupal is in the ultimate crisis of his life. The ultimate object of his attraction has been stolen publicly in front of everybody. And he and everyone has been defeated by the person he hates the most. If Krishna wants to make you happy, no one can do it like Krishna. And if Krishna wants to make you miserable, he's the master. But Krishna, when he makes us miserable, it's always for a good purpose, to ultimately make us happy. The sufferings in this world are all actually arranged only to open the doors to supreme happiness. And we find Jarasandha here is trying to encourage Shishupal. He's giving him really nice philosophy, because these are not just like maniacs. These are highly educated, refined, super evolved yogis who just haven't overcome envy or arrogance. So Jarasandha is telling Shishupal that actually it's just destiny. The Supreme Lord is the ultimate controller of everything. But he doesn't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Because after all, Jarasandha and others, they got their mystic powers by worshipping higher powers. Ravana worshipped Brahma and Shiva. Jarasandha was a very great devotee of Shiva. He was doing all sorts of sacrifices to get his powers. So they understood that there was a Supreme Lord. But apajananti mamuda manusim dhanamashuda. They couldn't recognize Krishna is the Lord. He's Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the Lord of all lords. They were considering the Supreme Lord someone who was all-powerful, who could give them all powers. That's how they approached. And they got so many powers. And he said, now the time factor is not favorable to you. But everything changes. Nothing is permanent in this world. So soon this unfavorable phase will end, and then you will conquer and you will win. He was trying to say anything to encourage Shishupal. Because he really liked Shishupal. And then he used his own example, and this is really interesting. He said, just like me, I attacked Krishna 17 times and lost. And I haven't lost my enthusiasm. I know that eventually I'm going to win. So, you know, it's because people like to hear personal examples sometimes.
This is how people could be covered over. It's really incredible. And this is the most important part of the class. I'm about to speak, but I'll be back in about 2 minutes. And Radhe Shyam Prabhu, if you could sing kirtan until I get back, everyone will become very purified. Thank you. Queen Kunti offered a beautiful prayer. Janmaishwarya Shruti Shubir Edamanabada Manapuman. That the greatest impediments to approaching Krishna are to have excessive beauty, strength, knowledge, wealth, fame. These are disqualifications. In other words, those things that people are most attracted to, those things that people spend so much of their lives, even at great risk and trouble, to attain, are the greatest impediments to approach God. There's a similar principle in the Christian Bible. It is said, it is easier to put a camel through the eye of a needle than for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of God. And then Jesus said, for man it is not possible, but for God all things are possible. And he says, don't make your treasure in this world, where it will be corroded, it will be stolen, it will be destroyed. Make your treasure in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is within. Queen Kunti, she speaks that same truth. Because here, she's speaking this prayer after Krishna has coronated Yudhisthira as king. He has beauty, he has strength, he has fame, he has knowledge, he has everything. You see, the nature of material consciousness is the more we have, the more we become corrupted by our attachments to what we have. Even people in the mode of goodness, what to speak of passion and ignorance, fall into this trap. Because when we have money, property, incredible intellect, knowledge, strength, beauty, fame, the more we have these things, the more the tendency is to think, I am the enjoyer. It never satisfies our heart. Therefore, it increases the propensity to be envious. It increases the propensity to be arrogant, to consider myself better than someone else. It increases the propensity to think I am the doer, and I am self-sufficient. And then we cannot cry out for God's mercy, Krishna's mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his beautiful verse, he completely counteracted that whole concept. Trinadapi sunichena, taror ibasihishnana, Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahani. If you actually want to cry out Krishna's name with quality, so that Krishna reciprocates fully,
then you must be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, eager to offer all respect to others and not expect any for oneself.
When one has knowledge, strength, fame, beauty, these material opulences, the tendency is we feel that we deserve to be respected. And the more we think we deserve to be respected, the more we're prone to disrespect others. Even if formally we do it with our words or our actions, in our hearts we probably really don't. Because we feel, I am so much superior to this person. As a matter of etiquette, because I'm so exalted, I'm respecting you. But do we really feel it? When Mahaprabhu was saying Amani Namanadena, he's speaking of a bhava. Actually seeing every living being as part of Krishna. And because we see the exalted nature of Krishna, we respect everyone on that level. So these material opulences of strength, wealth, beauty, knowledge, fame, they are not at all disqualifications if we are a Kinshana Gochara. If we recognize that ultimately everything belongs to Krishna. He's giving me the chance to be a caretaker of these opulences of his, and eventually he's going to take them away. So let me use them in his service, for his purpose. Then the same things are not an impediment. If we use them for Krishna there's no problem putting a camel through the eye of a needle. He created the needle. He created the camel. Krishna, nothing is impossible. But from a material perspective, it's impossible because people become so intoxicated and they lose their intelligence. The more you have, the more you become intoxicated. That's the tendency. That's why it's so important to have satsang and sadhana. Association of sincere devotees who actually keep us focused. Nasta prayesya padreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. By hearing about Krishna on a regular basis, it keeps that focus there. Otherwise, we become consumed by the very things that we're so much struggling to achieve. And this is the case of this assembly of Jarasandha and others. We were speaking about, it's like a club of really powerful rulers. Who is Shishupal? Sometimes we kind of make fun of him. But if he was in this room right now, you would not be making fun of him. In his previous lives, he was Hiranyakashipu. He was Ravana. He and his brother, Jayan Vijay, Kumbhakarna. Now, if Kumbhakarna was in this room, would you be making fun of him? You would be sincerely, from the core of your heart, crying, Ram, save me. It's extremely powerful. Shishupal had all those powers. He had the power of Kumbhakarna and Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana. Those were his past births. He was the same person. He had incredible, inconceivable mystic potencies. And he's Krishna's cousin, directly, from such royalty. And Jarasandha and these others who were there, they all had the same types of powers as Shishupal. And they all had massive armies, massive kingdoms, huge palaces, huge followings, every one of them. And they're all together. But they were all so intoxicated. And the example is Jarasandha. He's preaching to Shishupal. Don't be disturbed, because ultimately everything's under the control of the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord's right there. And he's trying to kill Krishna. And he's saying, don't worry, you'll be able to kill Krishna later, because ultimately everything's under the control of the Supreme Lord. He's not able to recognize. In fact, Shishupal and the others, when Krishna went off with Rukmini, do you know what they said? It's really interesting what they said. Anyways, I can't find it exactly right now, but they were calling Krishna a wicked cowherd boy, making him just such a relativistic, useless person. They were calling Krishna wicked, and he's nothing but a cowherd boy. That's what they were speaking as they were attacking him. That's what they're thinking. So Jarasandha, he's so intoxicated by his powers. And things are very, very intimate the way Krishna arranges, because his two daughters, who he loved more than anything in this world, besides his own ego, because they're extensions of his ego, they were married to Kamsa. Kamsa was his son, even more dear than his son, because he was protecting his daughters. And Krishna killed Kamsa. That's really an insult to Jarasandha. He made a vow in his life. He dedicated everything to destroying Krishna and the Yadu dynasty. He's telling Shishupal here, I attacked Krishna 17 times. Each time Jarasandha attacked, he had 23 Akshohini divisions of soldiers. That's a huge army. One Akshohini division is something like 21,870 chariots with warriors on the chariots. That means a charioteer and a chariot driver and a warrior. 21,870 powerful, trained warriors riding on 21,870 massive male elephants. 65,000 people on soldiers on horses, and 109,000 marching soldiers with weapons. That's one Akshohini. 23. That's over 5 million soldiers on horses and elephants and chariots with weapons. They all attack Krishna 17 times. That means mathematically, which I'm not good at, Krishna already completely annihilated almost 90 million of his soldiers. Yes? Now, what was Jarasandha's potency? It's not like it took him 20 years after 23 Akshahini's divisions of soldiers were annihilated. He had to, like, build another army. He just kind of came right back with another 20-odd. That's how influential he was in this world. He can get such massive armies, one after another, practically immediately, to attack Krishna. There's nobody that could compare to that influence. You know, in the armies today, you know, World War I, World War II, when the army's defeated, they just surrender and that's the end. When the whole army's defeated, when you just get a little part of it. But Jarasandha, his whole army's defeated 17 times and he just comes back with another one just as big and just as powerful. Krishna's already defeated 88 million soldiers connected with Jarasandha. And he always lets Jarasandha go. And here he's talking. It's just destiny. But you see, I haven't lost my enthusiasm. I know I'm going to win. Avajananti Mamuda. This is to the extent that the false pride can cover us over. So we have to see it for what it is. This false ego is so powerful. Rukmini, the goddess of fortune, who's the giver of all devotion, is standing right before these people and they want to exploit her. Krishna, the all-powerful source of everything that exists, is standing right in front of them and they want to kill him. And from a material perspective, these are very, very cultured people. Coming from very high positions. But janasya mohoya mahamameti, the more we think this is mine, I am the doer, the more we have can infatuate us, intoxicate us, and cover us over from seeing what's so obvious. Now here we are, just little people, and we're seeing Jarasandha, such a king, with such influence. How many of you over a couple years could get 88 million people to help you and give their lives for you? That's Jarasandha. He could attract 88 million people to give up their lives for his purpose. And more. But he can't understand what all of us, just simple people, can understand so clearly. And it's not that he wasn't being told. But you see, Shishupal, why couldn't he understand? He's seeing it all happening. But people like Jarasandha and Pondraka and Salva, they're just perpetuating his illusion by giving him false hopes. It's all right. You'll get Rukmini. It's just a matter of time. The astrology's not right yet. In this way, they are trying to encourage you. And Shishupal, he just, what can he do? He goes home. And Jarasandha and Salva and Pondraka and all these other soldiers are totally defeated. What else could they do? They just go home. But Rukmi, he was totally insulted because he was on their level. He had the powers and the influence like his comrades, Jarasandha. He was an extremely mighty person. He brought an entire army, and he took a vow, I will not return to my kingdom of Kundina without Rukmini, my sister. Because he hated Krishna. It was he that forced this proposed marriage to Shishupal. What kind of love? Rukmini had no attraction to Shishupal. His so-called love for his sister, and he really thought he loved her. That's how we get covered over when we have this false ego.
Prabhupada gave a simple definition of Maya. He said, Maya means that which is not.
It's a potency that covers us over from seeing the truth. Here is Rukmi, who really thinks, I love my sister and I will give her the best, Shishupal. And I will rescue her from this evil cowherd boy, Krishna. That's what he's thinking. He's thinking he's acting out of love. It's total ego. Shishupal is telling her, him and everyone else, I don't want to marry Shishupal. I want to marry Krishna.
But they don't care. He doesn't care what makes her happy. His conception of what makes her happy is what makes me happy. That is my love for her.
He doesn't say it that way, but that's his mentality. And actually, it's the mentality of everyone with false egos, big or little in this world. And there's a lesson to learn. So Rukmi goes to attack Krishna ferociously. And we are going to read what happens in the next verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So my humble request, understand this principle. Krishna is the proprietor. Krishna is the enjoyer, and Krishna is our ever-well-wishing friend. When we have this consciousness, we can find true peace, true love, forever. Because in this consciousness, Krishna will truly respond when we chant his holy names. Devotee doesn't have any inclination to prove himself or herself to anyone. We're just happy to glorify Krishna. Is there any questions? Yes, Gaur Hari Prabhu.
Thank you. Thank you for a wonderful class, Maharaj. Maharaj, in the initial part of your class, you were describing the mood in the spiritual world and how being a das is a very high title. So we get to serve in the movement of Srila Prabhupada through projects, through so many systems. At the same time, das is also a very personal relation that we may establish with devotees. And as we spend time in the movement, as the number of projects increase, we are coming in touch with so many more devotees. Senior and junior, and the struggle that we experience is this das often just becomes a namesake, not able to spend time. Tadati pratigrinati guhyam akhyati prachyati. Rukmini at least sent a letter to Krishna, but we find that even with the help of emails and mobile phones, we find a handicap to be able to be in touch with devotees and be there when they need. And and listen from them, hear from them. So how do we, how do we make sure that we, very often we call ourselves Das and we create hopes from devotees, but we are not able to spend the time?
To make progress, we should not think why other people are like that. We should think why I am like that. That is how we progress. Because in the world today, oftentimes devotees are very busy with so many things. The question is, are we absorbed in service, in das, or are we absorbed in some other activities? So we may not have time for certain things because we are absorbed in service, in das, whether it's a project or a people or a family or a business, whatever it may. If we're really absorbed in the spirit of service, we may not have time for everything. You know, there's thousands of devotees, and we may not have time to visit each one of their houses and bring a garland, bring prasad, even though we want to, because we have so many other obligations. So the important thing is we're in that spirit. We shouldn't get distressed by our limitations. We should just be grateful for the opportunities we have to serve. And we should try to balance. We should balance in such a way that we do have personal relationships. We shouldn't be so busy that we don't have time for personal relationships. But when there's thousands or tens and thousands of people, we may not be able to intimately have direct personal relationship with everyone. We can have with some, and that's something that's very sacred and important for all of us in all of our positions, to balance our work, our projects, to have personal quality association of serving certain devotees. And as far as possible, when we're serving projects, as you're saying, we're actually should be in the mood of serving everybody by doing it. If that's our mood, then we really are Das. Does that answer your question? Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much for such a wonderful class, Maharaj. I wanted to ask Maharaj, like in the relationships with the devotees, how to keep aside our false ego? Because how to keep aside our false ego in the relationships with the devotees? Because we know our spiritual master will be pleased if we are in the mood of a servant, but false ego is also there. So how to not act on false ego platform?
By chanting Krishna's names with a prayerful heart, by offering respect, by trying to be in that spirit of seva or service, we purify the false ego to become a true ego. And otherwise, by just being sincere to please Krishna. As we quoted, for us it's impossible to overcome the false ego. But for Krishna, everything is possible. If we please Krishna by our sincerity, by our honest efforts, ananyas chintayantam yejana parupashate, Krishna will protect what little we have, and Krishna will compensate what we lack. So if we're humble, we understand how much we lack. And then we really sincerely try to please Krishna. And then when Krishna does compensate for us, we don't say, just see what I have done. We say, Jai Shri Krishna. That's a tendency. We have so many shortcomings. Krishna, help us. Help me, help me, help me. I'm so shortcoming. Please help me. And then Krishna helps me and we say, see what I have done. You laugh, but that's what we all do.
Every single one of us, unless we're pure devotees, that's what we do. Of course, you're all pure devotees, but we haven't all realized it yet. Does that answer your question? Thank you. But now we have to end the class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So please be enthusiastic to distribute Prabhupada's books this month. It's a very wonderful opportunity to humble ourselves as the servant of the servant to share this wonderful message. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananti Koti Vaishna Vrinda ki jai. Shishi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Thank you very much.